Blog Talk Radio.
I don't wanna be that lie to make a second guess who I'm representing. No, I'm not perfect. No, I'm not ashamed to confess. I just want you to see that I'm trying. And no, it's not a game. Ain't gonna lose no sleep over what people say.
You got me leaving my life. Ah, you ain't giving me my life. Nah, you can't tell me what's right. Ah, you ain't laid down.
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 He made me great. So let me be great.
What?
But I just think it needs to be said. Y'all don't really get the picture. Focus your attention on what really matters instead. Believe it or not, I'm with ya. Don't get too caught up in what you see on the ground. I will stay high for you, cause that's just all I am.
You ain't giving me my life.
Got a praise for this brand new month of May. My God, 2021, he's worthy, worthy, worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Welcome everyone to tonight's broadcast. It's May 6th, 2021. This is Women Speak Now and Be Heard. Now tonight's host and speaker every first Thursday of each month, I'm Prophetess Charlene. And it is with a great heart of gratitude and thanksgiving that I'm thankful to God for another blood-bought opportunity to share messages from the Word of God, stirring truth to uplift and encourage the soul. God is so good. How many of you out there need God's hands of creativity to make you new? No, I mean, do you really want him to make you new? How many have been touched by the hand of God where you know he's made you new? Over and over again. How many of you can lift up your hands wherever you are and let God know that you're the one that needs him to make you new on the inside? How many of you can just say, Lord, it's me, oh God, standing, or whether you're sitting, in the need of prayer? God, we know that God is able to bless us to overcome things that we are experiencing in this season. But even before I go into all that, I want to just thank God for this precious opportunity. And I also want to thank God for Pastor E for the unique ministry of the Now Network that evangelizes and that encourages souls from coast to coast. Amen. And prayerfully around the world. How many of you know that we need God's spirit to move in the hearts of men and women in this day and time? And in children, we need the spirit of God to move like it has never moved before. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And also, I want to just thank God for, you know, the way that he's moving. You know, there's only one mind of the spirit of God. And I have been hearing different messages, and I'm sure many of you have too, with God dealing with the mind. The mind, you used to hear about certain colleges that would say a mind is a terrible thing to waste. But we know that it is God that wants to bring deliverance in our minds so that we can have a clear mind to think on the things that please him, to think on the things that are right in his sight. So with that being said, there is a stirring message to bring out tonight. And the topic of the message is, when are you going to lose your mind? Oh, yes, it's a hot message. Let's go into prayer at this time. Heavenly Father God, you are the God who created us, Lord God. You created us by your mighty power, by your intelligence, by your wisdom, and by your ability. God, you're so amazing and so incredible. There is none like you. So, God, we thank you for, my God, becoming flesh. We thank you for going to the cross for us. We thank you for your death, burial, resurrection. We thank you for being a God who is so concerned about reconciling us back to you. And we thank you for the process, because if it had not been for you, we would be stuck, and people would say stuck on stupid, stuck on self, my God, going down the hill of shame and sin. God, and we know that if that is not your will for our lives. So, God, we give you all the glory and all the praise that you are working in us by your spirit, by your word, and by your love. And we thank you. And everybody that hears this message tonight or that will hear the replay, said in Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. I'm going to try to take my time tonight, but as you know, I get so excited to bring out truths that stir the soul, that encourage the heart. And yes, we know by the Spirit of God, it brings correction. And we know that the Old Testament is a schoolmaster, and it taught a lot of things that only the blood of Jesus can redeem us from. And we thank God for the New Testament, because it's revealing the way that we should behave ourselves and, my God, walk in the love of God and towards him and towards one another. Amen. Hallelujah. So before I come out with the word of the message, when are you going to lose your mind, I began to think about, Lord, how do you want this message to be brought out? And so I thought about us all being invited into this banquet room, and it's a long stretched out table, and I mean, it's got the silverware and plates and cups all on the table, and we all have our chairs, and we're pulling up, and we're sitting up to the chair, to the table in our chairs, and even though we all have glasses, or, you know, you say a wine glass, but really what's in it is milk. So in your glass, you have milk. And in your bowl, you have soup or maybe some salad. And on your plate, you may have some bread or you may have some meat. But whatever it is that's on your plate and in your cup and in your bowl, you can kind of nudge your neighbor next to you and say, you got to eat what's on your plate. And you got to drink what's in your cup. And then the person just like me that's talking, or the person that's there listening, and say, me too. Yeah, we all have to eat what's on our plate, eat what's in our bowls, and drink what is in our cups. Hallelujah. Are you praying with me on today? God is a God that is so concerned that we know what state of mind we have and know when we need to lose that state of mind. Hence the message, when are you going to lose your mind? Hallelujah. Are you praying with me on today? And I began to think about the scripture. It's found in Philippians chapter 2. Run with me over there. I know you're at the table, but you can run in your spirit. And run over to Philippians chapter 2. In verse 1, it says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We're going to go back and we're going to unpack what these truths are here in Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. He said, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. How many at the table want more of the joy of the Lord to be in you? Not just talking about, ooh, like someone going to go see, you know, remember the movie The Wiz when the scarecrow and the tin man and, you know, the lion, they all wanted something, a new heart. They wanted some courage. They wanted, you know, all the things they needed. They was hoping that they would get that. But the word of God is saying here, to fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being on one accord, of one mind. And what is that mind? The mind of Christ. We know we're not Jesus, but we have learned that when he gave his life, he gave his all, my God, on the cross for your sins and for mine. He died to set the captives free. He did this. He showed forth his love, being an example to us that we should not only live holy and be holy, but that we should love one another with the same mind, being on one accord. Are you praying on today? Verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. How many of you know, and I know sometimes when the messages come forth, sometimes I feel like, you know, God has his belt out and he's chastising or he's correcting or he's rebuking. But God by himself knows each and every one of his children. I say God knows himself. He knows the hearts of each and every one of his children. And so the word is saying, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. You often hear me say that it's not about competition. And the competition I'm talking about is not like we're all in a race to get to the finish line, because in that type of race, you're not trying to outrace someone. You're trying to get to the finish line because you want to receive, my God, the free gift and blessing of eternal life. The motive is not to outdo you, outrun you, or overcome you, but it is to win and to reach the heart of God. Are you praying with me on today? So to be of one mind, the mind that says, you know, I would, if you want a surfboard, try to get on a wave to, my God, go out on the waves of the sea, and someone said, well, you can't go past that buoy because that's where the sharks and everything's out there. You got to be careful and not go too far into, my God, the deep where it's dangerous for you. Oh, God, yeah, someone would say, no, I'm trying to encourage you to warn you to be careful. God sends warning to remind us to be careful when we are not walking in the mind of Christ, when we're not on one accord. Hallelujah. And the Bible tells us in verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Be concerned, be encouraged, not just about yourself, but amen, but for one another. And verse 5 is the key scripture for tonight's message. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What kind of mind did he have? It says, for who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. God knows the motives. He knows the reasons why we do what we do. He knows if it's from a pure heart. He knows where it's faulty. But we have to, my God, be motivated. It's not about trying to make a reputation of ourselves. Hallelujah. But to take on the form of a servant. Hallelujah. Because what Jesus did, he, my God, was made into the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We see here in these scriptures how humble our Savior was. We see here in these scriptures the mindset that he had to be obedient to the will of God for his life. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And Ephesians 5:15 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And verse 16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. I want to pause right there and take you to an experience that you've all seen on the news not too many weeks ago. Some people have, we would say they have lost their minds, oh my God, because you would say, oh, these people had raided the White House. And you say, I can't believe it. Did you see what those people did? My God, they have lost their minds. And you're shaking your head in disbelief. It was viewed on all social media outlets how certain people rioted the Capitol and raided it. While hearing about it, there were people posting and describing their shock and awe and disbelief, like, is this real? Oh, my God. I can't believe what's going on. Are you kidding? These folks have lost their minds. How many were shocked, as I was, after seeing images played and replayed on television of these people just going off? I mean, climbing onto the buildings, breaking windows, rushing into the building like renegades and daredevils to prove they don't care about what anybody has to say about their actions, reactions, responses, or of their behavior. Painted faces. One had a headdress on, no shirt, just out of control. They came out the woodwork, just on the lawn, over the walls, up the stairs, in the building, just acting ornery. Now pause. Connect that same dynamic to how the mind controls what you say and what you do, what you think, and how you perceive. Now take another pause and connect that same scenario to how the devil and sin and the mindset of the world and self and the works of the flesh and the devil want to control your mind. Hence the reason for tonight's message. When are you going to lose your mind? I'm not talking about walking down the street crazy, saying your alphabets backwards. I'm not talking about talking to yourself and answering yourself. No, I'm not talking about that kind of insanity. I'm talking about the mind that resists knowledge, that resists wisdom, that resists, my God, guidance and direction given from the Word of God that can bring healing and restoration and renewal and reconciliation, that can bring deliverance and change, oh, my God, and ultimately the process, oh, my God, of salvation through Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in Romans 8:6-7, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And verse 7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. I began to think about different scenarios in the Bible, and many of you that have heard me speak on Women Speak Now Be Heard often find me bringing out examples from the Old Testament, because these are characteristics of people and their attitudes that were people who did not regard God. They did not regard man. They were heartless. They were cruel. They were selfish. And even though, God have mercy, people that don't know Christ in the world today and those that, my God, God is working on in the body of Christ today, we need God to change us in our very character and attitude, our disposition and our behavior, and how we are as a human being, as an individual, and how we are as a child of God in the body of Christ. We need God's deliverance. But these examples of these people in the Bible I'm going to bring up tonight are just facts and show how a mind, my God, that is not converted will respond and react in certain situations. And I'm not going to read all of it. I'm just going to name a few of these people in these dynamic, unique situations. One I'm sure you know about is Sanballat, concerning when Nehemiah was trying to rebuild the wall, and his disdain and disrespect to the will of God being made manifest. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1 says, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we built the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. How many of you know that is not the mind of Christ? That is not the mind of Christ for not only a human being to have, because you know the person has to be saved and repent, but it's not the mind of Christ for a child of God to have towards our brothers and our sisters in Christ. Hallelujah. to be angry because someone is doing the will of God and doing forth a work for God, to have great indignation against them, to be wroth and angry at them, or to mock them. Are you praying with me on today? And we find here Sambalot, his attitude in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 2, and it says, "And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews, will they fortify themselves? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish with the burns?" You know, you may not look like you're doing anything for God. Your motive is not to be concerned about what it looks like to anyone who does not know, my God, the will of God for your life. The concern is that you're still moving forward in the will of God, hallelujah, regardless of the mockers and the naysayers. Are you praying with me on today? And Tobiah, his friend, my God, had the gall to try to throw some more salt on the situation. And we find that in Nehemiah 4, chapter 3. It says, "Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him and said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall." Come on, somebody say, when are you going to lose your mind? I began to think about when people are overly so concerned about what you're doing. Who are you and what are you doing here? No, if God has brought you into the kingdom for such a time as this, you're in the kingdom to do the will of God. That's why you're here. That's why, my God, you're doing what you're doing for the Lord. Hallelujah. Haman had a haughty, headstrong, arrogant, and pride about himself because when the king promoted him, he wanted everybody to bow down to him and give him reverence. And when Haman found out that Mordecai wasn't in that party, he got an attitude and he got upset and he got full of wrath and he was, my God, disdaining Mordecai because he did not worship him. Are you following me on today? And we find out here in Esther chapter 3, verse 6, "And he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they," talking about the king's servants, "had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai." Haman wasn't glad enough to not like the Jews because he knew Haman was not glad or satisfied to be upset at Mordecai, but he did not like the fact that Mordecai was a Jew. So he hated the Jews as a whole. And then he also did not like Mordecai's family. I mean, I'm telling you, this is not the mind of Christ. This is not the mind of a child of God that God wants to be manifested in our hearts and in our lives. Are you praying with me on today? And I began to think about the scenarios concerning Naboth and Ahab. Ahab wanted Naboth's vineyard. He just craved it. And it wasn't his, but he had the wrong spirit of wanting something that was not his. Here we are at 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 1. And it says, "And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the place of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money." See, this is the thing about when you're going forth in the purpose in God, that God intended for your life. The enemy wants to, my God, kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to discourage you from, my God, doing what it is that God is putting your heart to do. And I know a lot of the messages that I've been saying lately have been talking about the will of God for your life. But this scenario right here, Naboth had been given a vineyard. It was his inheritance. Are you praying me on today? And because, my God, Ahab, it was near his house, Ahab wanted it. He wanted that vineyard, and he even said give it to him and that he would give him something in return of having him give him that vineyard, and that he would even give him money for it. How many of you know that the inheritance or the blessing and the favor and the will of God for your life cannot be bought? I said the will of God, the inheritance, and the favor of God on your life cannot be bought. I heard Pastor mention one time on one of his lives that the anointing is not for sale. The anointing on my life is not for sale. Are you praying with me on today? Hallelujah. In verse 3, it says, "And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it that I should give the inheritance of my fathers to thee. See, you can't give, my God, your anointing away. When God puts it in you, when he put it on you, when he put his hand on you, it's nothing that you did for yourself. You don't know how to anoint yourself. You don't know how to fill yourself with the Holy Ghost. You don't know how to change and conform your mind. My God, somebody drink some more milk. This is the only thing that God can do. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Come on, somebody, cut the steak. God is the only one that's able to change us on the inside. Hallelujah. And what we find out in 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 4, it says, and Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. Look at that. How disrespectful. How disrespectful to someone be so burdened down because you're not, my God, for sale. Because you're not going to give in to the wiles of the devil. Because you're not going to give in, amen, to the competition of the enemy that wants to challenge you and see what you're made of. See what you got, want to punk you, want to kick you to the curb and treat you like you're not important, my God, but you're not man's pick. When you're God's pick, I said, when you're God's pick, you're not for sale. When are you going to lose your mind, lose that mindset that you have to, my God, be approved by man? I said, you don't have to be approved by man. I began to think about it. I said, Lord, now this is something about me in my car. I know, I really, really know that my calling is not to appease people, nor is it to agitate or provoke people to anger. But when God puts a word in the mouth of a prophet, they are not trying to say anything to get any praise for themselves. Oh, no, it is not anymore to draw a crowd. I know how many people is on my Facebook page, and you know what? I'm not moved by it. I used to say, Lord, where's the crowd? Where's all the people? But God knows where he has sent me, and he knows where his extension, my God, and his will for my life, where it will reach like an arrow in a bow. Hallelujah. God knows where he's watching, where he's sending, my God, his word. Are you coming with me on today? And so Ahab was so displeased because Naboth did not agree to give him his vineyard. And what we continue to find out in 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 4, it says, For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And this is what Naboth did. It says, and he laid him down on his bed and turned away his face and would not eat no bread. I think that's something that someone can be so disappointed that you're so happy and have the joy of God in your life that you're doing the will of God. How many of you can, my God, testify that you didn't always seek the will of God? The devil is alive. We didn't always seek the will of God. We didn't know the will of God. We were doing ourselves. It's all about me, myself, and I. But when the light came on, when God began to deal with your heart and began to show you that he loved you, my God, then the turnaround began to change in your heart and in your mind. Then you begin to desire, oh, God, what is your will for my life? God, what is your will? Show me how to love my neighbor. Show me how to love my enemy. Show me how not to react or to respond. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we find out also here in 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 5, my God, that Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad? And she said that thou eatest no bread. Now we know the story about Jezebel and all the things that happened to her, my God, because of the wily, I always say wily coyote, or the shenanigans that she did, my God, because of the prophets and things that happened with Elijah and the prophets of Baal. But we see, my God, that she's so concerned about why is her husband all down and not wanting to eat any food. It's because he wanted something that was not his. He wanted, my God, someone else's inheritance, my God. And we find here in verse 6 of chapter 21 of 1 Kings, and he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give it. I will not give thee my vineyard. And you got to think about it. My God, they were anti-God. They were not believers in the living God. So, of course, they're not getting advice from a good spirit. Are you praying with me on today? And so Jezebel in verse 7, it says, and Jezebel's wife said to him, dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite. Oh, really now? You're going to give something to somebody else that's not yours either? She stood up for her husband in this matter to figure out, oh, I know how to get the vineyard to you. And this is so she came up with a satanic, with a demonic plan, my God, to get the vineyard, my God, into Naboth's hands. I mean, into Naboth's hands. So into Ahab's hand. So what happened was she came up with this divisive plan to have Naboth falsely accused and stoned that he died. And then we pick up the story here in 1 Kings 21:15, the day Jezebel speak to Ahab, and it came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise and take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money. For Naboth is not alive, but dead. How many of you know that the enemy is after your inheritance? He's after God's purpose for your life. He's after the joy and the peace of mind that God wants you to have. He's after, my God, distracting you from, my God, having the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. But tell the devil is a lie. The devil is a lie. Hallelujah. And then we go here to 1 Kings 21:16, where Ahab attempts to go and possess the vineyard of Naboth. And it says here, and it came to pass when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, to take possession of it. Hallelujah. And tell your neighbor, that's when all, you know what, broke loose. That's when they began to go down. See, when anybody wants to try to bring you down, when they want to build the ditch for you, they're plotting, they're doing all these shenanigans secretly, it's really a unique situation, but their end is not going to be good. This is not a message to curse anybody. This is not a message to attack anybody. And this is not a message to, my God, say anything or complain about anything. But it's just a truth that we need to have the mind of Christ in us. Because when the wrong mindset, a mindset that is anti-God, that is unsubmitted to God, that is not surrendered to God, and it's just self-willed, it will lead to a path, my God, of destruction. Hallelujah. When are you going to lose your mind is the word tonight. Jesus. We've got to allow the mind of Christ to dwell inside of us. That's the only way we can be converted. That's the only way we can be transformed. You know, it's unique how God says, love your enemy. If the mind that doesn't want to be converted or that is not converted will not love their enemy. Oh, yeah, the mind that God says we need to have will be loving our neighbors. But an unconverted mind don't want to love their neighbors? Oh, no, the unconverted mind hates their neighbors. They don't regard their neighbors. My God. But God wants us to have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. And that's why this message is here tonight, because it is it's showing the manifestation of an unyielded, unwilling mind. And what we find here in, my God, 1 Kings 21:17, it says, and the word of the Lord, my God, came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria, because he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he is gone down to possess it. I tell you, it's one thing to want something, my God, that is not yours. You want someone else's anointing? You can't have it. You got to seek God for yourself. You got to fast and seek God. God looks at the heart. He knows what you want. He knows you want someone else's anointing. God is not crazy. I tell you, I began to think about God. God is not blind as a bat. Come on, somebody. I say God is not blind in one eye, and he can't see out the other. God sees everything. God is so, my God, clear in his thoughts, clear in his vision, clear in his understanding. No human being is perfect or could even come close to being perfect. God is perfect. Hallelujah. And the Bible tells us, my God, in 1 Kings 21:19, it says, and God was telling Elijah to tell Ahab this. He said, and thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where the dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. Oh, my God. See, God sent judgment. God sent judgment, my God, on the unconverted mindset because of the behavior that was manifesting, my God, and it was not the will of God. It was not the will of God, my God, for, my God, Ahab to have Naboth's vineyard. Are you praying with me on today? Here we are at 1 Kings 21:20, and it says, and Ahab said to Elijah, hast thou found me, O my enemy? See, God has sent Elijah to go and tell Ahab of his judgment. But when Ahab seen Elijah, this was the word that came out of his mouth. He said, "Hast thou found me, O mine enemy?" Mm. I tell you, when God sends a word, my God, of correction to you, of rebuke to you, of warning to you, my God, what is the reason why? Here's what happened. And he answered. He said, "I have found thee." That's what Elijah told him. He said, "I have found thee." He said, "Because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord." Hallelujah. I want to tell you all tonight, when are you going to lose your mind? See, God does not want us, my God, to work evil in his sight. People are doing things, it's called a shande out of a kataya. And it's a shame, the Bible says, to mention the things that are done, my God, of them in secret. I want to let you know that God is seeing and hearing so much, saints. He's hearing and seeing so much, my God. Even in the pandemic, it's being done in his face. And God is not pleased. That's why we have to seek his face so much the more, my God, and say, "Lord, let this mind be in me, which was also in Christ Jesus." Because if I get my mind right, come on, somebody, I'll get my actions right. Come on, somebody. I'll get my behavior right. Come on, somebody. I'll do the will of God. Hallelujah. My God, with a pure heart. Hallelujah. Fervently. Hallelujah. My God, are you praying with me on today? God sent judgment. And we know that God is not anyone to play with. God is a treacherous. He's not treacherous. God is a, my God, terrible God. He's a terrible God. He's a mighty God. And when I say terrible, he's so great and powerful. I began to think about, you know, we know that we're nothing. We're human, and God created us. But I began to think about how much the people think they know. People think, oh, you know, they know so much, or they're so this and so that. How many can say they know someone that can create a star? Not only can you make a star, but do you know where to place it in the galaxy? Come on, somebody. God made all these stars, and he numbered them, and my God, and he placed them where he wanted them to be. Hallelujah. This is the same God we're talking about on tonight. My God has sent Elijah to Ahab. And we find here in 1 Kings 21:21 that he said, "Behold, I will bring evil upon thee and will take away thy posterity." See, God was so upset, my God, at Naboth and my God, I mean, sorry, he was so upset at Ahab and Jezebel, oh my God, because of the shenanigans that occurred to them to take Naboth's vineyard. Are you probably me on tonight? That God said he would take away, my God, he'll bring evil upon him and take away his posterity, his future generations of people, his descendants, his heirs, his offspring. I mean, it was just so much. His seed, God, my God, was, my God, just pleased at the behavior of Jezebel and, my God, Ahab. Hallelujah. We're here at 1 Kings 21:22. And why did God send judgment? He said, "For the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me," God saying, "to anger and made Israel to sin." See, God knows, my God, the motives of things being done in his sight. We have to have a new mindset. We know that we're not perfect, but we still have to be converted. I said, we know that we're not perfect, but we got to be converted. Somebody finished eating your salad, uh-huh. Anybody still eating your soup? And here we are at 1 Kings 21:23. It says, "And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel." See, God, he had to rebuke, my God, that spirit that was coming against, my God, what he had already blessed. He had blessed Naboth. Naboth had a vineyard and an inheritance. But the enemy wanted to come against it. He wanted to kill it. He couldn't have it. He wanted to steal it. He wanted to destroy it. Hallelujah. And we find out here in 1 Kings 21:25, it says, "But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up." I want to let you know that the spirit in the world that has been going buck wild has been the spirit of Jezebel. I said that spirit that has been going buck wild in this earth and in this season has been the spirit of Jezebel. But the devil is a lie. I said the devil is a lie. God, hallelujah, wants his people to display and have the mind of Christ. I said God wants his people to have and display the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. And yes, we know that this is a unique season, but I also want to hurry up and mention a few of these other scriptures here that on my heart, these people in the New Testament, I'm not going to read too much about them, but I'm going to mention their names. You're going to know what spirit they had that didn't have the mind of Christ. Judas Iscariot, we know the Bible says that Satan entered into him, and my God, and convinced him to, my God, betray Jesus. We know that Judas was disappointed because Mary anointed Jesus' feet with some costly ointment. We know that Jesus told them to leave her alone because she was, by God, preparing him for his burial. We know that Peter asked about John, wondering what was John going to be doing. You know, just curious. And Jesus said, what is that to thee? What is that to thee? Follow me. We know that God, through Jesus Christ, began to tell them in John 11:33, therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, you know, when Lazarus had died and Mary was weeping, Jesus went over there and said, where have you laid him? We see the compassion of Jesus. We see the mind of Jesus in operation, and that Jesus wept. And we saw, and the people said in John 11:36, then the Jews said, see how he loved him. We see that. Hallelujah. And then we see Jesus questioning in Mark 8:29, and he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter answered and said unto him, thou art the Christ. We know that Jesus, my God, when he ate with sinners and publicans, that the Pharisees was wondering, you know, what is he doing? You know, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 11, it says that when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eat your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that behold me not a physician, but they that are sick, my God. And then we find here in Matthew 9:13, Jesus said, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am come, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I want to encourage you all tonight that we must repent and allow the mind of Christ to be manifested in us. God, as he begins to show us more of our character and our attitude, our disposition, our behavior, our actions, the actions and responses, we realize that we need to seek God's face constantly to show us how we need to live in his sight. I said we have to seek his face and ask God to help us. Lord, how do you want me to live in your sight? Hallelujah. Because it is the mind of Christ that must be manifested in each of us. It is the mind of Christ that must be displayed in this world. It is the mind of Christ. When you're around your families, they see, my God, your character. They see your demeanor. They hear what you're talking about. They hear and they see how you're behaving and carrying yourself. My God, it is being displayed. Hallelujah. But even on social media, God wants to see that we are, my God, seeking for the things that are pleasing. We come on in his sight, hallelujah, that he sees, my God, the manifestation, oh God, of the mind of Christ working not only in us, but working in, my God, the environments that we're in, hallelujah. And I began to think about, you know, those folks that went to the White House all buck wild. They didn't care what nobody said about them. They just ran on out there and my God, raided that White House like that. And you know how different people have come out the woodwork and they have their pride parades and all that. I'm here tonight to tell the devil and anybody else on the line and on the call, I am a single straight female, and I've always been and always will be. I mean, you know, until God blessed me with a husband. But I am a single straight female. I have no fault in saying that. I'm not ashamed to say that. And I just thank God for my calling, for the calling of his will for my life. I thank God, my God, that you don't have to be ashamed, singles. You don't have to be ashamed that you're single and you're not sleeping around. You're not doing anything you shouldn't be doing. You're not going nowhere where you should not be going. Yeah, the Bible says such was some of you. But you are washed, you are cleansed. It is the mind of Christ that we need to see. I said it is the mind of Christ we need to see. Many can testify and say, if you had a list and you say, well, they did this, they did this, they did this, and you had your list of your faults, your shortcomings, your everything, your sins, and Jesus is the only one that can wash away our sins. The blood that he shed is only blood that is pure enough that can cleanse and wash and redeem us and make us whole and make us new. My God, that we can be ready to see his face in peace. See, the motive that we should have, my God, as children of God, not only to have the mind of Christ, but God, let your will be manifested in me. Lord, I want to please you in all that I do. God, I want to please you in all that I say. It's not about getting applause from people. It's not about getting any accolades. It's about pleasing the Most High and the living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Lord, so I thank God for this precious message that when are you going to lose your mind? When are you going to let go of the old mindset, my God, that had you down and depressed and, my God, and discouraged? When are you going to let go of that mindset that says, I don't need nobody to tell me anything? No, when are you going to let go of the mindset that you know it all? When are you going to allow God to stretch you so he can put in you, my God, that is my God, down in the instant is what I'm saying is the insight, the guidance and direction, how to be developed and grow and mature in him. When are you going to lose that mind of stubbornness? When are you going to lose that mind of rebellion and disobedience? When are we going to allow God to have the mind of Christ be made manifest in us? This is the time. This is the season. Lord, let your will be done in me. Amen. So I thank God for this precious message. The lines are open. If anyone has a response, you can call in. You want to pray, you can pray. This is a national day of prayer. So I will pray what is on my heart concerning the mind of Christ. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I'm asking right now, God, that you would move on each and every mind that has came to sit at the table, God, to have the meal that you have set for us today, Lord God. Lord, that you will begin to move in these hard areas and stubborn areas where we've been stuck, oh God, and resisted ignorantly out of rebellion, oh God, of the nature of Adam. God, I'm asking that you come in there, God, because you said in your word that you stand at the door and knock, that if we open the door, you will come in with us, you will sup with us, and we with you, God. You're the only one, oh God, who knows, oh God, the things that are going on because of, my God, ancestor things, God. Oh God, generational curses, God. Lord, you know what happened, oh God, in the garden, Lord God. You're the only one who can break the chains. You're the only one who can, my God, snap the cords. You're the only one who can break the walls down. You're the only one who can melt the bars of contention. You're the only one who has the ability, Lord God, to make us new inside. You're the only one who has the power and the fire, oh God. You're the only one by your Holy Spirit, oh God, that could go, oh God, into the heart, God, and make the stony heart, God, as flesh, Lord God. You're the only one, oh God, that can make the crooked path straight. You're the only one able, oh God, that no matter, even Lord, when we're sleeping, oh God, you know how to deal with us in our mind. You know how to deal with us in our spirit and in our souls, Lord God. The God, the message of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is not a message, oh God, that is just like anyone would say some fairy tale. God, but it was something that was actually done, oh God. No, we weren't here during that time when it occurred. God, but we believe the word, Lord God. My God, that you became flesh, Lord God, and dwelt among us, oh God. That, my God, mankind was able to see and behold your glory, the only begotten of the Father, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the righteous, hallelujah, the spotless, cleansing lamb, blood of the lamb, God, that was shed on Calvary's cross. God, you did it for us, Lord God. You did it, oh God, for us to have a new heart. You did it for us to have eternal life. You did it, Lord God, that we may live a victorious life in this earth, Lord God. You did it, Lord God, that we would be overcomers, Lord God, and more than conquerors, God. We would never, ever be the same again. But because of that, God, we thank you for the process, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, you care so much about us. You use so many varieties of ways to bring the word to us, Lord God. This different issues that we're dealing with, Lord God. Oh, God, different attitude, things in our attitudes, Lord God. Lord, that we can just go and we can look and see in your word, God, how these examples and how you've shown us, oh, God, by your love and your compassion towards the multitudes, Lord God. When you walked upon this earth, Father God, you showed, oh, God, how much love you had, Lord God. You began to tell us, Lord God, blessed are they when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. God, blessed are the meek, oh, God. You sent the blessings, Lord God, to encourage us, Lord God. And you said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. God, in you we have hope. In you, God, we can have confidence, Lord God, that we can overcome. God, even during this time that we're going through right now, God, you're with us, God, because you said you'll never leave us. You said you won't forsake us, Father God, that you're with us even to the end of the world. So, yeah, Lord, you chose the foolishness of preaching to save souls. You chose it. You decreed it. You declared it. You made it to be so, God, that souls will be turned to you. Hallelujah, because you are the answer. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I just thank you, hallelujah, for being a God full of compassion, not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. Hallelujah. Is there anybody on the line? The line is open. You're welcome. Hallelujah. You're welcome. Thank you,
praise
Jesus.
God. Praise God. Praise God, prophetess. Yes.
Praise God.
Awesome word. When will we lose our mind? To let that mind be in us, which is also in Christ Jesus. You know, that was a good word. I was just over here saying, my God, we have to be aware. Are we letting this mind that's within us, that's also in Christ Jesus? You know, because
yes.
You said our mind controls our actions. Our mind
mm-hmm.
controls how we love one another. Our mind controls how we treat one another. Oh, Jesus. I always say, a mind is a terrible thing to waste.
Oh, yes.
But in this time, we need to lose it so we can have that mind of Christ. But I think, you know what, prophetess? A lot of us struggle with letting, submission.
Mm-hmm.
He said we got to give ourselves away. We must decrease so that he can increase. We want to control things. And it's all about being in control. But when Jesus is control, you're letting our mind, we relax it. We're just listening
mm-hmm.
to him. I always say glory to God. I say glory to God for his word. And like you said,
yes.
his word's going to change us. It's going to change us from the inside. We
yes.
can do all we want. But a lot of, you know, prophets, a lot of them avoid his word. Because his word convicts us, lets us know
mm-hmm.
what we need to work on personally. Because when we go in his
yes.
word, he's talking to each and every one of us personally.
Yes.
A great word, woman of God. I love you and we appreciate you. When are
amen.
We going to lose our mind?
Love you, love you,
ooh,
love you.
Awesome. Love you more. Amen. Praise God for this good word. Amen. We'll see
amen.
Right now, and if there's any other callers, we'll check
callers.
And see if Pastor.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. 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 Hitting the buttons. Yes, awesome word, as always, and way to kick off the month of May. God, this time is passing. Oh, it's going so fast, but good thing we have the Lord on our side and that we can continue to go forward and what he's called us to do. So, awesome word, woman of God. Anybody out there would like to shout out with Prophetess Charlene this evening, go ahead and dial 1. If you need prayer, if you need to know a little bit more about the Lord as we're trying to share tonight, dial 1. And if you just want some encouragement, dial 1. The lines are open. Amen, amen, amen. Well, the word went forth, and the lines are full, but nobody dialed 1, so everybody's satisfied tonight. You can go ahead and pray us out of here, woman of God, and God bless you, and we thank you for your commitment to this network and the excellence you bring.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. We thank you for your many blessings, oh God, of your word, Lord God, that speaks to us. And, Lord, we don't know more than what you will have for us to know, Lord, as we go forward, oh God, and how you're working on us as your people, God, in our heart, in the chambers of our heart, in the chambers of our mind, God, to free us. God, you're a God who wants to set the captives free. God, you're the God that has the ability to set free and, God, to make us whole and place in, my God, the mind, the right thoughts, the clear thoughts, the sure thoughts, the pure thoughts, Lord God. Lord God, yes, the past is over. God, but you're the God who can give us thoughts, Lord God, on what we should be thinking on now. And, God, I thank you, God, that you're giving us thoughts, Lord God, of peace. And, God, you're the God that gives us rest, Lord God. God, you're the God who helps us to be content and find that, Lord, in you we have hope. We have courage, and Lord, in you we're brave, because we know, Lord, that because of you we're more than conquerors, Lord God. So, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you want us to have the mind of Christ working, operating in us, Lord God. For you're not the author of confusion, but of peace. So, Lord, let your peace continue to grow in us, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody say, in Jesus' name, amen.